comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, a place where you actually matter. Still no response from Mayor Jack Jingles in Calistoga, California. Just keeping you updated on that. The mayor is still silent about the email that I sent him. You can read that on the website, kevinsmithshow.com. Be sure you subscribe to the K-Files e-zine if you haven't done that. It's free, and it comes out each week, and we put all kinds of interesting inside information about the show and articles from around the world about things that are happening that fall into our genre. Video links, and always a free download. Anyway, it's free, and you ought to subscribe to it. Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click the link that says K-Files e-zine. On November the 23rd, we received information hot off the wire that the deputy director of Bulgaria's Space Research Institute, Dr. Lakhazar Filipov, had stated to the press that extraterrestrials are real. They are among us. We don't recognize them. And they are in constant communications with us. Now, that very evening, after the show, we had a telephone conversation with Dr. Filipov. He gave us his private mobile phone number, cell phone number. But since that day, we have not been able to get in touch with him. And since that conversation on the telephone with Dr. Filipov, the world of Dr. Lakhazar Filipov has become bizarre, mysterious, in the extreme. Well, tonight I'm going to be filling you in on what has been transpiring, what has transpired, what has appeared to transpire, and what it all may mean. The question is Dr. Lakhazar Filipov in trouble for releasing this information to the press? Are there indications that he's being pressured, manipulated, maybe even worse? Well, those are the questions that we're going to explore tonight, and we'll be looking into, along with Walter Bosley, a counterintelligence expert, former special agent for U.S. Air Force OSI. He'll join us here in just a few minutes, and he and I are going to look into a series of events and some of the context, cultural and political context, in which Dr. Lakhazar Filipov exists. The statements he made to the press, I'm sure you realize, are not made in a vacuum. The statements he made to the press are made within that context, within the context of Bulgarian politics, Bulgarian history, and maybe even Bulgarian secrets. We'll be back with Walter Bosley right after this. Well, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. With me tonight is Walter Bosley. Walter Bosley has been with us many times and in many different roles. He is an author. He is a publisher. He is also a counterintelligence expert. And it is in that role that Walter joins us tonight as a counterintelligence expert, being a former special agent with the U.S. Air Force OSI. Walter, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Kevin. Always good to be here.
Walter, you and I have had several conversations about Dr. Lakhdar Filipov and the events that have transpired since he released information in the Bulgarian press, which then went around the world. Very strange events. And so the format of tonight's show is a bit different from what we are accustomed to. It's a bit different from what we normally do. But because it's got to be, of necessity, very, very laden with information that a lot of people may or may not know. First of all, we'll be talking this evening because Dr. Lakhdar Filipov is not only Bulgarian, he is a he is one of the top physicists in Bulgaria. He is the deputy director of the Space Research Institute of the Bulgarian Academy of Science. And Dr. Lakhdar Filipov exists in the world of Bulgarian government because that agency that he works for, that he's the deputy director of, is a government agency. And so just in case you may not know some facts about Bulgaria, let me give you a couple of facts. First of all, you know that the capital of Bulgaria is Sofia. And that's on the western side of Bulgaria. And it is a magnificent city. If you've never been there, it is a magnificent city. In World War II, they were overrun by the Nazis. And then they were liberated from Nazi domination by Russian troops. After the war, they became... of course, quite naturally, they were close pals with the Russians because of many things. They're on the same side of the world. They speak a language that's very similar, same roots for the language. But also, they were close pals because the Russians liberated them from Nazi domination. As you are aware, during the Soviet era, there was something called the KGB. Well, in Bulgaria, their version of it was not KGB, it was DS. And it stands for Državna Sigurnost. And the history of that organization goes all the way back to 1878. But under the or during the Soviet years, they became, so that security agency became very, very closely allied with, entwined with the KGB. And it became one of the deadliest, and Walter, you can I'll give you a chance to comment on this here in just a moment, but they became one of the deadliest, most efficient spy agencies in history. And I'm talking about the Bulgarian secret police, the Državna Sigurnost. They're, as I said, very closely tied with the KGB. The guy who attempted to assassinate Pope John Paul II admitted that he was working for the DS, that he was being paid by the Državna Sigurnost. There was also a case in London, Georgi Markov. He was a Bulgarian dissident. He was a columnist, and he was using his pen, or typewriter, if you will, to fight for freedom from communism in his home country, Bulgaria. and it's a very famous case. Someone walked up behind him with a very especially equipped umbrella, used the tip of the umbrella to poke him in the back of the leg, and in a few days he was dead. And the poison that was used, ricin. Bulgaria continues to be a major transshipment point for heroin out of Turkey. Illegal arms being shipped to nations that are on the UN embargo list. And there is some evidence of this. February the 7th, 1990, the Communist Party in Bulgaria had just given up, voluntarily given up, its stranglehold on Bulgaria. And then about a month later, in February the 7th, one of the ministers announced that the Državna sigurnost was officially disbanded. But there's been some evidence of continued existence of these folks as an organization. The evidence seems to point to that they just went underground and operated unofficially in behalf of selected politicians and in behalf of selected business and industry leaders. About 100 of the parliamentary folks, people in parliament, have been named as having been associated with the DS. Now, you need to know that the soup, all of this plays a huge part in the mystery surrounding Dr. Filipov, the soup in which he must swim. The secret files of the DS have been kept secret up until this month. And the legislation to open those files was working its way through the parliament, and it was looking like that there was no doubt the legislation would pass and would become law, and it did. And this law says that the files are to be opened and that every name of every person who worked for or was a collaborator with the Državna sigurnost is going to be published on the internet. So, in that soup, with a great deal of pressure, a great deal of political upheaval, many people, ministers in the government, other politicians, heads of agencies and bureaus about to be outed on the internet, and they're going to make it available on DVD as well, or CD as well, the names of everyone who had anything to do with cooperating with the secret police during the communist years. It's going to be published. In that soup, there is Dr. Filipov. And he announces to the press that extraterrestrials are real. They are among us. We don't recognize them normally. And they are in constant communication with us. That happened on November the 23rd. Now, in some of the emails, there have been a lot of emails coming into the show over the past 2 or 3 days. Lots and lots of emails, people finally really getting on to this. And, of course, you know, we brought it to you the afternoon that it hit the papers in Bulgaria. But lots of people got on the bandwagon and have done some pretty good investigative reporting on this. But he announced that on the 23rd. While this legislation is making its way to completion about the secret police. On the 27th, The Minister of Foreign Affairs resigned because his name is on the list as being formerly with the Državna Sigurnost. Interestingly, the DS was officially disbanded February the 7th, 1990. And yet the records show that he continued to be affiliated with them, employed by them, until 1991, which would seem a bit impossible if they were actually disbanded February the 7th, 1990. And the announcement was not that they will be disbanded. It said they are disbanded as of this date. Okay. So Dr. Filipov releases this information. That same night, Jerry Wills, in association with this show, had a telephone conversation with Dr. Filipov. And you heard the show. If you didn't, you should have. And Dr. Filipov was very excited, very enthusiastic, very animated about his information. One of the statements that he said was, people in this country are wagging their heads at me, but they don't know what we know. And if you come here, I will show you what we know. He asked that we put, we asked him to be a guest on this show. He said, I will do it. It's my duty as a physicist, as a scientist, to get this information to the world. Very definite statements. Now, since then, he asked us to put it in an email, and I put it in an email. I got back from him within 24 hours this email. Now, this email is written in perfect English, and I was kind of impressed until I got into it a little bit, and I realized I was reading a form letter. And this didn't sound anything like Dr. Filipov, like he had been talking, and it doesn't address whether he would do an interview with us or not. And it's written in perfect English. A little bit later, I'll just do this. Let me read the first paragraph. Thank you for your interest regarding the prematurely published article in Novinar Daily and Sophia Echo. Firstly, I would like to clarify that Space Research Institute of BAS is not directly involved in the Dialogue 2009 experiment in which myself and my colleagues are currently taking part. Perfect English. But you see, this is within 24 hours of that telephone conversation. And this doesn't sound like him. Now, I have here one that I will read to you that is from Filipov, written to someone else, that and they sent it to me. And you will hear the difference in the language, because he writes in broken English, as you would expect. When I wrote to him, I wrote to him in broken Bulgarian. That's what you expect when you're not a native speaker. All right, so what's happened? Well, in that 24 hours, and he had given us his private cell phone number for us to contact him and requested that we use that number. But within that 24 hours, Dr. Filipov disappeared as far as we are concerned. We're getting this form letter back that doesn't address anything that he asked us to put into our email, like the date, the invitation to be on the show, etc. Doesn't address anything like that. And then he doesn't answer either of his telephones, neither at the Bulgarian Academy of Science nor his private phone. When we call his private phone, it didn't just ring and ring and ring. It would answer, but it wouldn't take you to voicemail. It just played classical music. He never answered it. Well, a few days go by, That was on the 23rd into the 24th. By about the 26th or 27th, we're still not able to get in touch with him, but others did. There was a Croatian news crew that arranged to come meet him in Sofia. And I believe this, I believe I'm correct about this. This arrangement was made for them to meet on November 27. I believe that's correct. I could be wrong about that date. And so they went to Sofia and had a meeting with him. Their report of this is that Dr. Filipov appeared for that interview intoxicated, and that he was not coherent. They could not continue the interview. And they have supplied 4 seconds of video that shows what is purported to be that interview. And I don't have any doubts that that is the interview, and I don't have any doubts that that is Dr. Filipov. But it seems very, very strange that this guy, who is number two in their version of NASA, would appear for a press interview on camera intoxicated, doesn't it? Now, you might say, well, you never know. The guy may have a drinking problem. If he had a drinking problem, he would not have the job he has. Not in Bulgaria. They would replace him really quickly. And this is not the first top-level job that he's held. Now, folks, we have a break coming up. I want you to listen very, very carefully. In what I've shared with you, there's yet one more piece of evidence you need to know. But in what I've shared with you are indications of what looks like, to me, that Dr. Filipov has been subjected to what I would consider, shall we call it, special attention. And maybe there are indications of that even in that interview and in an email that he sent after that interview. We'll return right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Walter Bosley. Actually, I've been doing most of the talking, but after just a couple of more comments, we're going to get Walter into this. Dr. Filipov, after that news crew from Croatia came down to, and I think it was Jurica Radovic was the reporter, and they came down to Sofia and tried to do an interview with Filipov. They said, actually, they didn't say he was drunk. They said intoxicated, or another word that was used was incoherent. And they showed about 4 seconds of the interview, and so I got a chance to look at him. Now, after that, another person that in Croatia, another reporter, got involved with Radovic in trying to figure this thing out, and they had some email exchanges, and some suggestions were made, and so, long story short, they contacted this second reporter, contacted Dr. Filipov. Dr. Filipov said that it didn't happen. He doesn't know Radovic, and he never had an interview with Croatian TV. So after some more exchanges of email, they decided that what they would do is send the film clips of the interview to Dr. Filipov and ask him if that is indeed him. Here is the reply. I told you that I would read to you an email from Dr. Filipov, and you will hear the difference in the English here. You will hear that this sounds like someone who is a Bulgarian native speaker who is writing in English. He says in his reply to them, if the idea of your investigation was to compromise me, you do it. I think that for every normal man to be in some not how to say not comfortable situation is not crime. Best regards, L. Filipov. Some of the comments that were made in emails that I have been receiving indicated that if you read between the lines, he's saying, yeah, I was there and I was intoxicated, but I'm in a difficult situation. Well, it doesn't say that to me. It doesn't admit intoxication at all. Maybe he was, and I'm not saying he wasn't. But, as you're about to discover in our discussion here this evening with Walter Bosley, there can be other explanations for his behavior in that interview, and then for denying that he had the interview. There can be other explanations for saying that for every normal man to be in some not how to say not comfortable situation is not a crime. That's the key to be in a not comfortable situation. Now, my question, when I looked at this, my question was formed based on the history of the DS, based on their world-renowned expertise in methods of manipulating people and even killing people. Based upon that, overlaid on top of the events, you have a conversation, a telephone conversation with Filipov and Jerry Wills, in which Filipov is very excited, very enthusiastic, talking about doing the interview with us, and says, and I quote, I will do it. It is my duty as a scientist to tell the world. This doesn't sound like a man who's playing things down and saying, oh, well, we're just looking at crop circles. That's been what he's been saying to people since this. But he disappears for a couple of days. By disappear, I'm not saying that he disappeared where nobody could see him. But he's out of communications for a couple of days. Then when he's back, we get this bizarre chain of events out of him. And what he's saying now is 180 degrees from what he said to us on November the 23rd. Walter, as a counterintelligence specialist, I'm going to throw something at you, and as a counterintelligence specialist, I'd like for you to just kind of analyze this. Mm-hmm. We have a situation where the DS has apparently gone underground. They no longer officially exist. They just go underground, and they're now working in behalf of some politicians that had formerly been associated with the DS. They're working in behalf of some business leaders, including bank presidents, and including, by the way, some Orthodox priests who had been working with the DS. And so they're underground just doing that stuff, basically illegal activities. Legislation is about to top off where they're going to publish the names of everyone in those files. They're going to put it on the internet, and if you were ever associated with a DS, you're outed. You're going to be outed. This thing with Filipov happens on the 23rd. On the 27th, the foreign minister has to resign because he is one of those names and was affiliated with the DS up through 1991, a full year after it was announced they were disbanded. Now, it would seem to me that disclosure of extraterrestrial information, and that we're not getting into tonight whether that information that Filipov actually has is valid, is good, is, you know, the content of the information is not the point. But extraterrestrial information would play havoc with people in the power generation business, in the oil business. They produce over three billion barrels a day. I could be wrong about that. I remember looking in the CIA fact book, but they are an oil producer and a natural gas producer. It would generate all kinds of problems in their economy if this gets out and it's true. And working on behalf, then, of some politicians and on behalf of some of the big business boys in Bulgaria, is it possible that the shadow of DS gets laid over Filipov and they decide to control him? And if they do, do you see any evidence here of some type of counterintelligence or perception management or anything like that?
Yes. On the perception management angle, what you're seeing could certainly fit in with that. Maybe there's someone in the UFO field in Bulgaria that they're trying to ferret out or draw out. So they dangle Dr. Filipov as bait on their little hook to draw that person out. Of course, this gets out throughout the world, and in the usual UFO channels, as it has through the UFO media, and suddenly their little dangle op is a potential embarrassment and casts a much brighter light on them than they intended. That right there is the angle that comes to mind immediately for me as a possibility. You know, yet without getting into it, like you said, is it that the information was valid and they wanted to do a trial balloon out there and just see what the reaction would be, what the interest level would be? That's possible, but all the elements in this little mystery about Dr. Filipov, to my mind, point more to some type of potential dangle op, or as his email suggested, maybe he crossed swords with the wrong person, and they are trying to discredit him in their own way. I personally do not see this as an angle that the information was valid, and it's just kind of an oops, they're trying to cover up that. I think there's something a little bit more down to earth, a little more mundane in the intelligence world going on here.
Well, what would you say about, what would be your thought, your comment about and I've reported on this here. In fact, it was the very first report that came out and that I used on that very first night. And this report says, and I quote, and this was in the news in Bulgaria, it was even claimed that some alien species were present during a media statement in which they had answered more than 30 questions put forward by Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. That statement is in that first report. I have a hard copy of it. I printed it out. Okay?
Right.
That report has apparently disappeared, and for sure, this statement in all subsequent articles is not there. Now, I have to admit, you know, that drew my attention. Anytime there's a black hole in the information, something goes missing from the information, that draws my attention. If let's say that you have committed a crime, Walter, and let's say that there is a big box of evidence that proves you committed this crime, or there's a big box of evidence from the crime scene, and you've got a friend that somehow gets you into the evidence lockup at the police station, mm-hmm. you go into there, would you take the whole box, or would you simply take out of that box the things that you know lead to you?
Well, having actually been for several months in 1988 an evidence technician for the FBI, I can tell you exactly, I agree with you. You would take the little pieces that are the most damning.
Yeah. But if you took the whole box, then all of a sudden it's like putting up a gigantic road sign that says, "Go arrest Walter."
Exactly. A whole box, so to speak, is going to be noticed. The pieces may not be. In reality, the pieces are usually listed on a form, and they are regularly matched to what's actually inside the box. But you know, theoretically, yeah, it'd be a lot easier to take out just one little piece.
Yeah, the linchpin. Take it out. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're talking with Walter Bosley, a counterintelligence expert. And Walter, what we were talking about is the missing statement. It was in the first report. The first report says, it was even claimed that some alien species were present during a media statement in which they had answered more than 30 questions put forward by Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. That statement I just read is a quote out of the first article, the very first one to appear. It disappeared in all subsequent articles. Now, to me, that's like taking evidence out of the box. That tells me that there's some importance there. Either this reporter got it wrong, in which case they should have run it as a correction, or this reporter got it right, and that's the one thing they don't want out of the bag. The stuff about crop circles and channeling and all of that stuff is a part of what they are involved in. It's a part of it. But that statement says there were extraterrestrials at a media statement, present, it says present during a media statement in which they had answered more than 30 questions. Taking that out draws attention to it. Because when I start looking at, is it possible that Filipov got a little bit of rough handling? Is that possible? What would be the reason for it? Now think of this. Folks, think of this. If the only thing Filipov is involved in and the only thing that he was talking about is crop circles, do you think there would be any attention paid to him at all by any other government agencies other than to just wag their heads and say, Filipov's gone around the corner now? But he disappears for a couple of days, and when he reappears, he appears to be incoherent. Now, the Bulgarians, Walter, are... let me change that. The Bulgarian Derzhavna Sigurnost were legendary for their ability to brainwash people, legendary for their ability to assassinate people worldwide. Am I speaking out of turn, or is that correct?
No, you're absolutely right. They have quite a reputation in the world of intelligence. They were among those who developed tactics that the West got from them. A lot of what we did, and when we founded our intelligence apparatus, a lot of it was inspired by what the Brits were doing, and based on what the Brits were doing. And the Brits, a lot of their stuff they got from the Eastern intelligence services. And you're dead on with the Bulgarians. They have quite the reputation for all those things.
I have here in my hands, folks, a multi-page. It's about it's about 12 or 15 pages. Each entry on these pages is just a little block paragraph. It goes all the way back to 1878, and it is a timeline of the secret police in Bulgaria. And it lists things that they were involved in, operations that they did, people that they killed, people that they tried to kill. It goes all the way back to 1878. This service is legendary. Now, what you might not know, there was a film that came out called The Manchurian Candidate, and I'm not talking about this recent remake. I'm talking about the original film. The original film was blocked. It was banned in several countries. The Manchurian Candidate was blocked or banned and not allowed for the people to see it in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Romania, and Bulgaria, and Finland, and Sweden. No one was allowed to see it until after the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1993. Over 30 years. What significance does that have? Well, the reason they were not allowed to see it is because it disclosed to their people how their secret police could reprogram someone's mind and actually make them remember different things than what actually happened, make them think that they were someone they were not. And one of the tools, I read up on this, Walter, and I want to bounce this off of you. One of the tools that is a big, big tool in doing this is sleep deprivation. It's one of the main tools that's used to do this. And it causes them to hallucinate. It causes the person, the victim, to hallucinate. It causes them to have the same symptoms as being drugged or being intoxicated. And with the right person and the right pressures applied, added to the sleep deprivation, you can literally brainwash someone in 2 days. All right, now I've thrown that out. That's the information I came up with today. I'd like to know, is that correct?
To the best of my knowledge, I was not a specialist in that area, but sleep deprivation and other such things are tactics used in how you prep a subject for interrogation techniques. Or they have been, and the reason for that is because you can certainly, it is known, you can affect someone's state of mind using that, and in using that, then you can begin to plant ideas you want there.
So if Dr. Filipov is out of communication for 2 days, 3 days, then appears at an interview appearing to be intoxicated or incoherent, it could be that he had been subjected to something like this.
Sure. You know, people could confuse somebody in that condition for being. Let me say the inexperienced with this could easily mistake it for being inebriated, because you know you're gonna get the you know, people are kind of tripping on themselves. They're tripping over themselves. Their
slurred speech.
You know, could be slurred. They're just completely exhausted.
And incoherent in terms of not being able to put two thoughts together and string it together in a logical sentence.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that Dr. Filipov denied that he had met with these Croatian journalists, with the news crew. Now, this is another sign to me. See, if you're intoxicated, you may have slurred speech, and maybe your eyes are red, and maybe you're a little bit incoherent. But after you wake up from that, after you're sober again, you still remember that you had that meeting. You still know that you had that meeting. And that there were cameras in your face. Now, if he had been subjected to sleep deprivation, and if he was being subjected, instead of interrogation, you know, you do the sleep deprivation to prepare for interrogation, but you can also do it to prepare for programming.
Exactly, yeah.
And if he had been subjected to sleep deprivation, and then was programmed to go out and do this interview and just talk about crop circles, mm-hmm. and then subjected again to some kind of sleep deprivation and programming to make him say that he didn't remember ever having this meeting, that would serve to discredit him further, and it would hopefully discredit the Croatian news crew as well. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Walter, before we took that break, I was making a point about this news crew. You see, this whole story with the news crew is really what sort of cemented for me the idea that maybe Dr. Filipov had been the subject of some special attention. If we connect these dots, in that within 24 hours of talking with us at this show, he sort of disappears. He's incommunicado. He's not answering his phone at the office. He's not answering his private cell phone. And he's not answering any email. Except you could get that form letter sent out to you. That was it. And as you know, those can be sent automatically. So he reappears in front of a news crew. Now this Croatian news out of Zagreb is a big deal. And by the way, Zagreb, wow, what a beautiful city. Just a great, great place. But anyway, they had been advertising that they were going to have an interview with Dr. Filipov, and that they were going to bring this interview to their viewers. It was big news. Okay, now, when they get there and have the interview, Filipov is in no condition for an interview. And so they went back to Zagreb, and they had to put together a kind of a real quick different show in which they just used 4 seconds of the interview. All right, now, if I want, let's go back to what the report had claimed. The report claimed, the first report claimed, Filipov claimed, in, or they're referring to him, that there had been a media statement at which several alien species were present and answered questions. That gets taken out of all future reports. You don't find it in any other reports. And then all of this chain of events happen. And, you know, why would the news, TV news in Zagreb, Croatia, be so excited if all we're talking about is we're studying crop circles? The thing I think that had them excited was the very statement that I've been talking about that was taken out of all subsequent reports. I think that's what they had, what was so exciting to them. They wanted to go nail that down. All right? Now, when they get there, let's say that's the thing, that's the one thing that he said that crossed the line, and I would have to say that since it disappeared from subsequent reports, that's the case. So the news crew gets there. Someone has managed Filipov to the point that this crew, who they've been advertising, they're going to get the goods, they're going to talk to Filipov, they're going to get it and bring it to their viewers. They get a Filipov who's incoherent. That brings discredit to the news crew. It discredits Filipov. And then Filipov doesn't remember having even talked to that news crew. To me, that says there's a very, very high probability that he's been psychologically massaged. Am I off track? Well, maybe we don't have Walter with us anymore. And that doesn't surprise me at all. That does not surprise me. So what we'll try to do is we'll try to get Walter back. And in the meantime, folks, let me tell you that we will try to get the telephone lines open here in a little bit. You may or may not know that just before the show, the website was taken down. And I got a call from Kevin in Canada telling me the website was down, and this was an hour before. I told him I expected we would get hit tonight, and as you can hear in the background, we are trying to get back in touch with Walter, but we haven't been able to do so. We'll try that in a moment, but I'll tell you what we'll do right now. We'll go ahead and open up the telephone lines and allow you to call in. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or toll free 888-223-4599. And we'll continue trying to get Walter here as we go along. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kev. This is Ryan in Washington.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, I had a question and then I kind of wanted to hang on for a comment. When was it revealed that his name was on the list of former FS members?
His name has not been revealed as being on the list.
Well, but you found that somewhere?
No, I never mentioned that.
I thought you said earlier that
the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Affairs resigned on November 27th. That's 4 days after Filipov started the Filipov story broke. And my point is only to point out that he is functioning within a context, a soup, that includes all of these former secret police being revealed. And maybe they don't want to be.
Well, I think that we have media manipulation going on here, and I could be wrong, but are you sure that it's not the American media that's there? Because
I read it in Bulgarian.
It sounds like American media to me. If you look at the way that his original article was taken down, that was the media and changed. That was the media. Then you had the media come to him and do an interview, and you know, I think that I don't think he was incoherent or intoxicated, but that article was a way to discredit him. That's what I think.
Well, look, in fairness, the media that came to him and did the interview is not even from his country. Okay? And he apparently, I mean, I have no reason to doubt Jurica Radovich and that news crew. I've got no reason to doubt them. Now, I don't doubt that Dr. Filipov was there. I saw the news clip. I don't doubt that he was incoherent. They say he was, and you know, they had advertised big time in Zagreb that they were going to have Dr. Filipov on the show, and there they were with egg on their face. So I don't doubt that story. What I'm saying is that I think he was manipulated. I think that he was subjected, probably, to sleep deprivation, that he was programmed to go out and do this interview, and he's out there after, you know, sleep deprivation doesn't mean you're sleepy. It means you've gone past the point where you can go to sleep. You've punched through that. You've gone past that. And you're having hallucinations, you're having the same symptoms as you would have if you were on drugs. And they send him out to do the interview. Within the next 24 hours after that interview, he doesn't even remember that he had the interview.
You got a good point there. You know, this. I wouldn't be interesting in finding out what other stories these reporters that came to him reported on, and I wouldn't be surprised if they have some sort of agenda behind them. A lot of reporters are probably on the payroll of the people that want to keep the secrets in the first place, and you know, I could be wrong, but
it's another country.
Well, Pop was trying to say something, and what I think is that I lost my train of thought there. The only thing we can do to protect him is if anything happens to him, we can drop this bombshell to the whole world and reveal everything that he has. And, just like Jeff Harvey says, go ahead and try it. We got three more coming out behind you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'll tell you. I in this case, I really doubt that those reporters were on the payroll of the people that want to keep this quiet. They're not even from the same country.
Well, I'm not on anybody's payroll, so I'm just speaking my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could be wrong, but you know, that's my opinion, and I think that a lot of people can see through this, but. But the thing is that it sounds like American media to me. I mean, what's next? You're going to talk about Tiger Woods' sex life and his marital problems and stuff. It sounds like American media to me. But anyways, I'll just...
All right.
I could be wrong. I'll just take off the air.
Well, thanks for your views. I appreciate it. If this had happened in America, I would agree with that assessment. But in this case... I don't agree with it simply because the reporters are not even from Bulgaria. And they've done lots of stuff to try and go easy with this. They really have. Giving Dr. Filipov, in fact, the opportunity to respond when they sent him the film clips of it. He said he didn't even meet with them. And he didn't know this Radovich. And after they sent the film clip, he responded with the email that I read to you earlier. Walter, I'm glad we've got you back on the line.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Oh, I can guess. Okay, now, and in response now to what I'm just saying here, listen, when Radovich and company provided the film clip for him to look at, after he said, after Dr. Filipov said, I didn't even have an interview with them, I don't know what you're talking about. Then they provided the film clip. His response in the email was, if the idea of your investigation was to compromise me, he didn't say discredit me, he said compromise me, you do it. I think that for every normal man to be in some not comfortable situation is not crime. I think he's telling us that he's been subjected to the special treatment that made the Derzhavna Sigurnos so famous. I think that's what he's saying. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, Walter.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, this does certainly smell like classic brainwashing. I think we've seen a lot of this throughout the UFO community for, 60 years now?
Yeah.
It's quite amazing. I wonder when they're going to actually finally allow this kind of information to finally come out. Like, when your government officials like that, of course, we've seen, people coming out with that all the time, but on the mainstream media, coming out with that, a person that is obviously going to point out to people, you know, the obvious truth that there are people from elsewhere that are here. They have been here. They've been here for a very long time. And, you know, I wonder if they'd pull something off over here even today. Would they pull off some sort of mind control experiment like that today on people that would come out with that information?
Well, let me ask you this. What is there to stop them from doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Zero. There's nothing to stop it. So would they do it? I would hope not. I would be naive to say they would not. But can they do it? You bet your shorts they can.
Walter, how long do you think it's going to take before no kind of mind control is going to stop the truth of all this stuff coming out?
I'm not a great believer that disclosure is right around the corner. Not official disclosure. No. I think that's something a lot of people would like to see. But I think it's wishful thinking. I'm one of those who believes that when it does come out, it's going to reveal itself, and it may reveal itself in very personal ways to, you know, the masses, as opposed to some big announcement. For whatever reason, and that's been discussed, you know, elsewhere and at other times, whatever they know about the truth of that and the facts of it, there is some reason why it remains a big, huge secret. And that's whether we agree with it or not. I don't think that there's going to be a big disclosure. I think that the powers that be certainly could use the idea, or may be using the idea of it, to cover certain things, certain technologies, certain capabilities, to cover certain facts about our own history. I think human history starts on another planet. I think this is part of the reason why there is such big secrecy on this. So I honestly don't see where we're going to have disclosure is not right around the corner, official disclosure. They're going to continue to use whatever the truth is, whatever the facts are, you know, in the way it's been used. And for ages.
Well, I do thank you. And Kevin, we spoke of Jerry Wells earlier. Just want to let you know, I sent you an email to an interesting link of something that came up that I think Jerry Wells may want to check into when next time he's at Tiwanaku.
All right. Thanks for the call. Folks, this is what those of you watching on KSS TV have seen me shuffling through papers here. This is what I've been looking for. Walter, just how pervasive could it be, this thing of the DS still being around? Well, here's how pervasive. November the 27th is when the Bulgarian Prime Minister, Boyko Borisov, accepted the resignation of Deputy Foreign Minister Krasimir Kostov, and the reason was that Kostov was said to have worked with the DS under the alias Norris, and did so until 1991. But listen to this. Earlier in November, Borisov told reporters that he was eagerly awaiting the commission's report on the entire foreign ministry, which is due in 2010. Bulgarian media quoted Borisov as saying that he expected 90% of the staff of the ministry to have worked for the State Security Services, or DS. 90% of their foreign ministry. So do they still exist? They're today called the foreign ministry. So they didn't go out of business. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hey. I got two quick questions. The first one is, I don't know if you explained what this conference that these aliens was at, and do we have any transcript of what was talked about and why it was held there? And two, in your e-zine this month, you put in about the CIA and China shooting down a CIA plane, supposedly with mutated bird flu.
Yeah, it's an article that has come out. It's not a CIA plane. They're claiming it's a plane that the crew were CIA contractors. That's what they're claiming. And it was not China that shot them down. According to the report, it was the Mossad.
Right.
And the reason was, according to that report, that plane was headed for a Mossad complex to spray the complex with this mutated H1N1 in Kyrgyzstan. Now, is the report true? I have no idea, but that's what's out there.
Yeah. I just wondered if I think that would be worthwhile looking further into, to see what they're up to. I know you're into UFOs and stuff, but for people...
Well, that's another one where there's a black hole now.
Pardon me?
That's another one where there's a black hole. That one report got out, and there has been no further information.
Yeah, I think people should know that if they're trying to pull that stuff. I mean, I think our lives should take precedence over UFOs. They're not really trying to kill us right now, but apparently...
Well, the thing is, if people subscribe to the K-Files e-zine, they would know, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, want more verification and, how far we could go with this. And, if you could answer that first question about, what the meeting was and why there and what the aliens said. And
okay. I can answer it simply. The only report that came out is what I just read to you, and then it disappeared. There is no further information on that. On that statement that about, that there was an immediate statement that there were aliens present, that's all there is. And then it disappeared.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks for the call. See, and folks, that's, and Walter, that's what drew my attention to all of this and said, whoa, wait a minute. Let me pay attention here. A little bitty piece of evidence has gone missing from the box now. And then when the thing came up with the Croatian TV crew, and you put all that together, it looks to me like what you're looking at is Dr. Filipov having been subjected to some vigorous training. And I can't say for sure that that's what's happened, but it, to me it looks like that. Does it look like that to you? For whatever the purpose was, don't know the purpose, but does it look to you like he's been manipulated here?
No, yeah. To me, somebody's playing games with Dr. Filipov. Somebody is definitely exposing him to certain tactics, if not methods. And I think that right there is a smoking gun to ask yourself, is the information, even the little part that's been taken out, is it true? Does it necessarily, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be true for it, for the purpose to be effective. In other words, this business of the part about the aliens being present at the press conference that's in there and then is out, that just might simply be part of the whole operation to see who notices, to see who latches onto that and talks about it, as we are tonight.
Well, they before they even started, they had my name at the top of the list. They knew when they took something out, I would notice. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back. We'll take more of your calls right after this. We are back. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free 888-223-4599. Walter, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Well, we made it through that one. Okay, let me read a flash message that came in. This is from Australia. From Blue, it says Cold War tactics: remove the source and ridicule the source. And ridicule the source's status as an academic professional. Secondly, remove the individual from the public. It only adds to the credibility to the head science professor, to his statements, and is the big secret due to us being a food source for off-world population. So, yeah, it is classic Cold War tactic. That's what jumped off the page at me. When you consider what Filipov said to us and his reaction to us on the telephone right after this hit the press in Bulgaria. And then, within 24 hours, nobody can get in touch with him for two or three days. Then somebody does get in touch with him. People that think they got in touch with him and got an email from him all got that same form letter that I got. But then someone does get in touch with him from Croatia and arranges an interview. And he shows up for the interview. He's incoherent. And then doesn't remember having the interview. And when he responds, finally, to them sending him film clips of it, he says, if the point of your investigation is to compromise me, you do it. But it's not a crime for someone to be in a very not comfortable situation. And I think he's not telling us that he was drunk. I think he's telling us that he's been exposed to some rigorous manipulation. And folks, you know, don't look at this situation through the eyes of the way it's done in your country. First of all, you don't know how it's done in your country. You know how you get told it's done. Okay? You don't think that any country is going to tell the truth about what they really do in the intelligence business.
It wouldn't work if they made that a habit.
But this serves to do, this kills two birds with one stone. It makes Filipov look non-credible. It makes the news crew return to their home country with egg on their face to face their audience. And if they show that interview, then it further discredits Filipov. If they don't show it, it discredits them. Well, either way, it discredits them in the eyes of their viewers. And it's like, oh, another big buildup and another big letdown. That's the way this UFO stuff always goes. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. It's perfect. And let me tell you, folks, Walter, you're familiar with Georgi Markov, right?
Oh, yes.
Tell us what you know about Georgi Markov, about that case.
I know the basic story. He was a, I believe, a radio or a radio journalist or maybe just a print journalist. That part's cloudy to me right now. And he got himself in a lot of hot water because he was outspoken, you know, and basically had the more of a attitude of freedom and liberty that... you know, of spirit and idea that they didn't like over there in Bulgaria. And anyway, he defected to England, went to England, and on a street corner in, I'm not sure if it was London, I think it was London, on a street corner, he's standing there one day, and a gentleman just lightly bumps into him with an umbrella. A gentleman stands with an umbrella, turns, and, you know, as it happens, you know, people rub up against you or bump into you. The tip of the gentleman's umbrella bumped into his body, his leg, I think it was, and within a frightening short period of time, we're talking hours, Georgi, by the time he got home, he was sweating, he was coming down with a fever, and within hours, that had exacerbated greatly, and he died. I can't remember if it was less than 24 hours or just over 24 hours, something like that, but it was discovered. They discovered a tiny, very tiny pellet with just a pinprick of one of the strongest poisons known to man in the pellet. And they figured out, based upon what he said before he lost consciousness, and, you know, what they did know about how the Bulgarians worked was that the gentleman with the umbrella, of course, had injected that pellet into Georgi Markov's body. And it was pure, flat-out assassination, you know, just kind of a vengeance, spiteful thing. You know, he had caused them trouble and enlightened the people in ways they didn't want them enlightened. And they made it clear that, you know, they could get you anywhere on the face of this earth at any time. And that's how they got him. And it's something that, you know, I started my career in the 80s, the late 80s, and that was one of the major cases that you were told about, you know.
A gentleman by the name of...
the reputation for being knuckle-draggers.
Well, a gentleman by the name of Kalugin is reputed to have designed that umbrella. After the Georgi Markov... assassination. The minister in Bulgaria in charge of the DS offered as a gift to Kalugin a beautiful new AK-47 to say thank you. And Kalugin was somewhat embarrassed by it and wanted to not receive it because he felt like it, that pointed too much to him.
Yeah.
And so, look, when we talk about the fact that the DS were efficient killers, and they were really, really, really efficient as a police state security service and intelligence service. They had priests reporting to them on the congregation, and they had the congregation reporting on the priests. They had the mufti. Now, that would be like the archbishop, but it's Islamic. They had the mufti on their payroll, and he was a collaborator. So they had the Christians tied up, they had the Muslims tied up, they had academics tied up. These were really, really tough characters here. Now, I'm saying were, because they officially went out of business February the 7th, 1990. However, as the report that I just read, the Prime Minister of Bulgaria says that, you know what, we're waiting on a report that we're going to get early in 2010 that focuses on the foreign ministry, and we expect that about 90% of the foreign ministry are former DS, former secret police. So there you have, they didn't go out of business. They did exactly what happened in Yugoslavia. In Kosovo, we bombed Yugoslavia, NATO bombed Yugoslavia, until Milosevic agreed, okay, I'll pull my army out of Kosovo and I'll pull the police out of Kosovo. Well, folks, you have to understand, those police live there. Unlike most of the army, they live there. That was their home. That's why they were police there. And for them to be pulled out means they had to leave their home, they had to uproot their family, and head off north into Serbia. They didn't do that. They took off their uniforms. They quit reporting to the police station. And I can tell you, in Mitrovica, in Kosovska Mitrovica, they reported to Srpska Kafana. That's where they met. And they continued to operate. And these guys in Bulgaria, all they did is take off their insignias, quit reporting to the headquarters, and now they're in the foreign ministry. Now, Walter, here's a curious thing. If you go on the internet and try to find a picture of the DS headquarters building, you can't.
I
can find a picture of CIA headquarters. I can find a picture of NSA headquarters. I can find a picture of the old Romanian secret police headquarters. And all over Eastern Europe. But I can't find one of Bulgarian secret police headquarters. That tells me this building must still be in use. And it must still be, although they're not going by the name DS, it must still be their secret police headquarters.
Sure. Sure. It makes absolute sense, and particularly when you understand the Bulgarians. They were the knuckle draggers of the old Soviet Union. They were known for doing the rough stuff, the wet work. They were extremely secretive and controlling. I mean, come on, when you have a guy who's essentially just a political dissident, and he leaves leaves his home country. He says, "Fine, I'll get out of here. I'm gone," and he goes to the West and just to live the rest of his life, and they send a guy, they devise this device, they devise this umbrella to send their guy to England to follow him and to carry out an assassination on a street corner in London. I mean, this shows you the character of these people. This shows you what they're all about.
Now, let me clarify something. You're exactly right. But when we say it shows you the character of these people, let me clarify. We're not talking about this shows you the character of the Bulgarian people. We're talking about the character of these people that were in the DS.
Right, exactly, the security apparatus.
As it turns out, they were enemies of the people themselves.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they tortured and killed thousands of Bulgarians. And they were enemies of the people, but they were loyal to the government because they saw the government as being something different from the people. This is what I warn you about here on this show, about the police state mentality that seems to be taking over in here in the land of the free. Your loyalty is to the Constitution. Your loyalty is not to the government. The government exists because of that Constitution. So your loyalty is to the Constitution. But I don't want to get off on that. Here's a little trivia question. Well, we'll have to wait till we come back from break. A little trivia question about Europe. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're speaking with Walter Bosley this evening, and we're talking about Dr. Lakhisar Filipov and the strange string of events that happened with him after talking with Jerry Wills from this show. Walter, trivia question. Think of all the countries in Europe, the European Union. All right, now, which of them do you think has the largest number of police per capita?
You know, you'd be inclined to guess one of the larger of them, like, you know, maybe France or Spain or Germany or, you know, the UK, but I got a sneaky suspicion that it's one of the smaller, possibly former Soviet principalities.
Yeah, it's Bulgaria.
Oh, there you go.
Bulgaria has the largest number of police per capita in the European Union. And as we've already read, the Prime Minister says 90% of the foreign ministry he expects will be on that list, showing that they were former DS, Državna Sigurnost. And, you know, they didn't go underground. I mean, they didn't disappear. They went underground. They took off their insignia and just went to work in other places in the government. Something like 62 prosecutors and military investigators have been identified, currently serving prosecutors and military investigators. Something like about 100 serving MPs, members of parliament, have been identified. I mean, this was a big apparatus. And just by taking the name off of it and taking the insignia off didn't make it go away. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. The reason this is important, folks, is because this is a scientist that in his country certainly is a major player, a major scientist. When it comes to space research, he is a major player in Bulgaria, number two in command of the Space Research Institute. This is a man who, whether you agree with what he disclosed or you think it's nothing, still the point is he disclosed something about extraterrestrials. He disclosed information about extraterrestrial presence on Earth. And the most interesting thing, I think, is that the big statement was that they had several species, several different types of these aliens that were present at a media statement in which they answered 30 questions posed to them by personnel from the Bulgarian Academy of Science. That's all we know about it. We don't know anything else about that. That statement was made. That statement disappeared. And then this long string of really weird events took place. Walter, let's say that you had to design a way to kill the story. You can't call it back. It hit the news. It's out there. The statement was made that aliens were present at a media statement and that they answered questions posed to them by personnel from the Bulgarian Academy of Science. That hit the news. It's out there. You can't call it back. You have been given the job of killing the story, dousing the flames. How would you do it?
No, I would discredit the person associated with the story, most associated with it. In the, you know, in this case, you know, it's Filipov. But yeah, I would, if I had to do it, I would, you know, first want to cause confusion. I would want to, you know, do, make it look like there were, you know, two or three different opinions and positions out there on what the facts and the truth are, much like is done with the whole global warming thing, to convince people it's real. I would totally confuse the issue, and I would discredit the person who had released the information. That would be the first step.
How would you go about discrediting him?
Well, first I'd look at the easy possibilities. I'd see, is there anything in that individual's life that is just waiting to be exploited that would tarnish their reputation? You know, and you would apply those kind of tactics. You could expect that a certain portion of the population is going to discount that individual based on that. And, you know, then you look for, you know, what else you have
Okay, let's say you don't have that. Let's say that this individual is highly educated, has held high positions both in the Soviet days and now within the scientific community, highly respected. Now what do you do?
Well, I probably pull that person in if they're part of the apparatus that I'm involved with, and you know, have a talk with them, you know, kind of a come to Jesus meeting. Say, hey, now this is on the assumption that the individual released something or revealed something that was not intended to be revealed. You know, you would, you know, remind them of their position and their obligations, and then you would initially, you know, see if there was some way you could get them to participate in the discounting of the information they let slip. And if they're unwilling to participate, then you would, you know, go about trying to discount the information on your own. Now, remember, you're asking me how I would do this, but the kinds of things you don't do to individuals and citizens in a free society.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just because I know how I would do it doesn't mean I would do it, or certainly even if I was willing to do it, would have been allowed to do it, you know, without some serious repercussions coming down on me.
I understand that. I'm asking a hypothetical. I understand that.
Yeah.
We only have about a minute and a half left. Walter, I don't know whether Filipov was ever in collaboration with the intelligence services in Bulgaria. Being a top scientist, it would not surprise me, because most top scientists in this country have some link to some intelligence service in this country. If it's nothing but the funding that they're getting for their research. That would not surprise me. But let's say that Filipov is not going to cooperate, because he said to us on the telephone, it's my duty to tell the world. Would you then go about disorienting this man, making him incoherent, and put him in front of TV cameras?
Yeah. If that's what was going to work, absolutely, someone in that position would do that to him. Particularly people of a certain history that, you know, that's how they would normally do it. That's just in their bag of tricks. Yeah.
And it certainly was in the Bulgarian DS bag of tricks. Walter, thanks for being with us. Stay on the phone with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, can we say for sure that this is what has happened? No. Can we say for sure that this is what looks like to us, to me and to Walter? Well, it looks like to us that there's a very high probability that what we've laid out here tonight could have happened to Dr. Filipov. My background and Walter's background give us some level of expertise in looking at this. It doesn't mean that we know for sure. The questions continue, and we may never know, because we don't know for sure all the answers about the Georgi Markov killing. We may never know for sure, but before you jump to conclusions about Dr. Filipov, remember this show. This man could be subjected to pressures and manipulations you can't even imagine. We'll be back tomorrow night, and I hope you'll be here. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.